My children, my divine hand is reaching down through the portals of heaven right now. It is touching you. It is changing you. It is rearranging you. You have stepped into a new time frame this day. You have stepped into the heavenly realm where all miracles can occur. You sang your songs to me this morning. You danced and you rejoiced. And that gave me great pleasure. But I tell you, saints, you do not understand the power and the authority that I have been placing within you as you worship me. You do not understand the fullness of time that you are walking in at this given second. Each one of you in here this day have a plan and a purpose for your lives. I have made you, each one of you, a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. I have been stripping you like an onion and peeling everything away from you that was not of me. And I have been bringing you forth little by little by little into my heavenly kingdom where all authority is yours. I could not bring you all at one time because you would have walked in confusion at the power of the authority that you will walk in. But the newness of time is upon you now, and a great and mighty work stands before you. Many strongholds must be pulled down at this given time. Many are perishing for lack of knowledge. Those of you who know my son need to start spreading my gospel. You need to be speaking of the secrets of the heavenly place. Children, soul after soul after soul is perishing. I need you this hour. I need you this day, this second, to come up hither. Walk among the angelic host. See as I see, know as I know. I'm calling you out of the comfort zone. And I'm calling you right into the very battle of the ages. It is time to step out of your box of comfort. And it's time for you to step into my battle plan. My angelic hosts are already on their assignments. My Holy Spirit is continually working my churches. My Holy Spirit wants to lead, guide, and direct you every footstep that you make from this second forth. Know ye not that your name really is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that I have had my hand of mercy upon you all the days of your life? There is a lost and dying generation out there that need to hear the truth of my son Jesus. Spectacle after spectacle has been going on, cursing my son, bringing hell recognition, but casting heaven aside. I do not need you to be a stumbling block ever again. I need you to walk in the fullness that I have called you to walk in and do the great mighty works I have called you forth to do. Right now, my spirit is ascending upon you. Receive all that I have for you this very second. Some of you believe you have disqualified yourself Up to this point, that is not true. I want you to receive what I am doing to you this day. Some of you who are true leaders, I'm giving you all power and all authority to destroy the works of darkness. Those of you who are climbing the ladder of success in my kingdom, I am giving you more power so you can go forth and do the mighty works that I've called you forth to do. Come up hither. Sit at my feet. Let me teach you of my ways. If you don't understand, deep is calling unto deep right now this morning. And he wants to go into the very depth of your innermost being. And he wants to abide there. If the Holy Spirit's ministering to you, just let him go and minister to you. We know that Sister Teresa's been in the hospital, and she got out the other day, but she told me that she had an experience, and Teresa, will you tell us what that experience was? You have to get a microphone. Listen closely to what she's saying.
Before I went into the hospital, I was in extreme pain, and I knew there was something wrong, but the doctors didn't want to listen. They just, we'll get through this, and then we'll check that out type thing. And I went into the surgery, and I lost 3 days that I can't really tell you what happened. There was times, bits and pieces that I remember, but other than that, I don't remember. But the gist of all of it was that I was in a war. And I know you all have seen war movies where people are in jungles and they're hiding in the bushes and stuff like that from the enemy. And I was in my bed in the hospital room, and I felt like I was hiding from the enemy, and he was after me. And I was sitting there, and I heard my name being called, and I didn't know where it was coming from, and I was trying to find the location that I was being called from. And I looked down to my left because something touched me down there. And when I looked down, I saw this face. And to me, the face, it scared me to death. And I jerked back as far as I could into my bed and just gasped. You know, just couldn't catch my breath or anything. And then I realized that the face that I was looking into was not the enemy. He wasn't the foe, but he was a friendly face. And I felt like he was my angel that God had sent to me, and that he was there to help me take me through this jungle of this war that I was in. And then after that morning, when that happened, I started coming back up out of it. And then after that, every morning, that doctor that was there that morning, that what I believed was my angel that carried me through that battle, he came every morning at 6 o'clock to see me, and he told me I was the highlight of his day, just to look at me and to talk to me and to make sure I was okay. But it was so real. The battle was so real. It was, I really literally felt like I was in a war zone and I was being sought after. And I know the enemy's been trying to take me out. And the doctors told me that if I hadn't been coming in for surgery, I wouldn't have been alive today. Because I was dying. That's what the pain and stuff was. And it's just amazing to me, no matter how much I talked to doctors and told them about what I was going through, none of them wanted to listen. And I believe that was the enemy trying to take me out. And God made a way, gave me the strength to get through until I got to the place where I could be brought through. And I just praise God for it.
The young man was one of the team, one of the members of the team that operated on Teresa. There was 4 doctors, and he came faithfully, this one. And there's a young guy. You never know who's in the operating room with you. And I know that the enemy was trying to take her that day. because I know how I've witnessed this before with people who had surgery. Big God made a way. He brought that young man in there to get her up out of that dream, that nightmare, before the enemy could take her. Now, what are we going to do with that information? You know, are we going to serve God with all of our heart 100%? Or are we just going to live like, oh, well, God will save me again? You know, I'm just talking to everybody. I know you all have experiences that you go through, but do you really look at the experiences, one that God is showing you, so you can change and to be the person he's really calling you forth to be? Amen. When I was seeking God's face about what he wanted to be taught this morning, this is what God said. He said, what is honor? Then he said, honor is the ability to walk down the street and hold your head up high. Honor is what you show to those around you. And he said, honor is the ability to step into the throne room of grace with your shoulders squared, ready to speak with your maker face to face. Then he said, not many understand the word honor, and therefore they are walking contrary to my word. So I thought, okay, God, we're going to talk about honor this morning. Okay. Now, in the Bible, honor is a recurring theme that carries deep significance for believers. It is often associated with respect, reverence, and recognition of the worth of individuals, including both God and our fellow human beings. Now, I want to stop here because somebody who I had taken into my home and a year or so ago, they passed away. They overdosed. And they passed away at 12:15, I think it was, this morning. And when they told me he overdosed and they didn't know how much of his brain had died, I knew then he was not going to make it, because, you know, I just knew my spirit. But I wasn't sure where this young man ended up at. And this morning, as I was getting ready for church, I was praying. And God said, daughter, he's in my arms. He's finally at peace. And he's all right. Now, this young man was an alcoholic. Then he got on crack too. But when he died, my family told me all the trauma that he went through for about, 2 years? Just one thing after another, because he was known this boy ever since he went to school with my kids, my grandkids, and he was always a good kid. And what God told me was, he said, that you and I, who are normal, as we call it, we don't understand when somebody becomes an alcoholic or a drug addict, that it's because of deep-rooted pain that nobody sees or addresses. And he told me, he's a daughter, until you, the church, starts dealing with a deep-rooted pain, you're not going to see freedom in that dark realm. And that really made me think about how we deal with drug addicts and alcoholics and whatever the sin they're in, whatever the addiction is. Are we really looking at them through the eyes of Jesus? Or are we looking at them through our own human eyes? And we only see what we want to see, and we never see what we really need to see. And, you know, what's that word, Narcissus? I can't pronounce it. All right. Well, there's a lot of people that are that. And I've been looking at, I've been studying that, and you become that way because of your parents. Your parents make you that. But the sin is that if you know you're one and you don't get delivered from it, that's the sin. It's your fault. I know your parents made you that way, but you don't have to stay that way. So if you are one, and I know a few in here, I have some in my own household, you need to go to Chris or or Alan and set up for a deliverance to get rid of that mess. Because what you're doing is you're hurting and destroying those around about you, just as you were hurt and destroyed. You know, pain begets pain, isn't that what they say? And you know, you'll treat other people the way you're feeling. We need to really get this right. That world out there is a total, absolute mess. You know, when they started talking about legalizing marijuana, God said this is going to lead into something disastrous. This should never be happening. Now they're saying, I was reading it this weekend, they wished they would have never, ever legalized pot, marijuana. And now they're lacing it with stuff like they do your crack and stuff. And it's killing people. And you get addicted to it, just like they do with cigarettes. They put stuff in cigarettes, so you're addicted to cigarettes. I'm not going to put myself in that. This is just one addictive society. I mean, anything comes down the pike, you grab it, and you become addicted to it because it's laced with addictive substance. So the church must now turn this thing around. We must get these laws turned around. We must get these people that are hurting out there in the streets doing drugs and alcohol. And look at alcohol. You can, just like my granddaughter said, you can buy alcohol anywhere. If you have $2, you can buy anywhere. And you know, when I first started the church, I had somebody in the church who had a liquor store. You know, that was their business. And they believed that God, it was all right with God for them to have their liquor store. It was not. It was not. But they quit church because they didn't want to let go of their liquor store because it brought them in a lot of money, a lot of revenue. Where do you want to end up at? You want to end up in heaven or hell? I had another person who stocked the cigarette machines. I had a time with her, but I just told her one time, you know, that you're supplying something to people that they shouldn't have. And she gave me all kind of reasons why she shouldn't quit her job. And about 3 months in, she came and she said, I quit my job. Because she said, as I was, you know, putting the cigarettes in the machine, God convicted me, the Holy Spirit came over and said, you are sinning because you're helping these people stay addicted. So she quit, and she quit that job. She had a testimony about that that was really powerful. We really need to stop and reevaluate everything that we're doing. We need to become people who are working for the kingdom of God. I was just saying this morning, we come here, we're just getting fat over with the word and with the anointing. But what are we doing with that? You know, are we doing anything outside the church with it? Just think about that. You know, we need somebody who will be a youth teacher. You know, we need more dancers. You know, and we need really, truly leaders who are really walking with God and not walking circles around God, so that whenever people come in, we can really minister to them in truth. This young man had passed away. I was really upset because, you know, he was in my home and I did tell him about God, but I didn't do it enough. You know, I didn't go to him, he was sitting on the porch getting high or whatever. And I didn't sit there and tell him about the love of God. I did that once or twice and I quit. So see, I feel like I was slack there. As long as he was in my home, he should have heard about the word every day. Are you understanding this? And we don't do that. Well, I warned him once. Now it's all on them. But maybe one time wasn't enough. Maybe they need it again and again and again. So we're going to talk about honor this morning, all right? But I said that because to say that we don't honor the people who are addicted. We push them down and we walk all over them. All right. I said, in the Bible, honor is a reoccurring theme that carries deep significance for believers. It is often associated with respect, reverence, and recognition of the worth of individuals, including both God and our fellow human beings. And 1 Peter 2:17 says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers, fear God, and honor the emperor. And Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. I don't see that in the house of God. I don't see that on the streets either. And 1 Timothy 5:17 says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor. See that? So if you have a pastor or a preacher or your teacher or evangelist that don't really doing a really good job, then God said they're worthy of double honor. And John 5:23 says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. We're supposed to honor Jesus and God both. In John 4:44, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. You know, nobody in his hometown wanted to accept him as the Messiah and as a prophet. And so he couldn't do any works in his own hometown. All right, you think about that. Are you living an honorable life? To find out, take a peek at God's word and 10 people he says you must honor. Now, honor in today's society seems non-existent. But what about honor in our everyday lives? Spend some time in a crowd at the grocery store, watching TV, or on social media, and it doesn't take long to figure out that many people in our society fail to show honor. And why is that? It boils down to the fact that no one has taught them how. No one has lived honor out before them. Some of the TV programs, they should just take and dig a hole and bury them. They're not worth watching. Disrespect and dishonor is all through them. As Christians, we ought to be the world's greatest example of high integrity and the most honorable men and women on the face of God's earth. Other people should know us by our honor, how we honor other people. What is honor? The world defines it in many ways, but we will define honor as a keen sense of ethical conduct. A keen sense of ethical conduct. Honor is often used to refer to one's word being given as a guarantee. It is personal integrity, honesty, and showing respect to others. It is personal integrity, honesty, and showing respect to others. It's time to go back to the source of honor, who is God, and learn how to live honorably before God and man. In doing so, you will find the endless rewards await you. Begin today with these 10 people God says you must honor. First thing we have to do is honor God. 1 Samuel 2:30, those who honor me, I will honor. Honor is God's system. It is his way, his being, and his doing, and he expects it to be ours also. The first place we are called to direct our honor is to him. And Revelation 5:12 says he is worthy to receive honor and glory and praise. Without complete and genuine honor to God, it will be impossible to honor anyone else. So this is where it starts. Some people think they honor God simply because they acknowledge he exists, they attend church, and speak the Christian language, but there is far more to it than just exterior actions. Honor cannot be faked. It only comes from the heart. How do you honor God? His word is clear. You honor God in your finances. Now, I'm not asking you to tithe, all right? This is just... Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions. I think anything you have should glorify God. I'm not even talking about money. what you own, it should honor God at all times. When you obey God by tithing, giving back to him what is his, you absolutely demolish any plans the enemy has for your money. You honor God in what you say. Words of doubt, unbelief, negativity, and grumbling are dishonoring to God, and they fail to acknowledge what he has done in your life. Also, coarse language or inappropriate joking is not showing honor to his vessel, which is your body and includes your mouth. God talks about a fool. You honor God in what you do. And John 14:21 says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who loves me. This is how you behave day in and day out. When you deal with your family, when you are in public, and when you conduct business at work. The more you meditate on God's word, the easier it will be for you to honor him in all things, because you have continually deposited his way of thinking in your heart. God bought you with a high price. He expects you to honor him with your body. All right? People who dress inappropriately, you're not honoring God with your body. People who dress what I call demonically, you aren't honoring God. You're honoring the devil. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Second thing you should do as kids is honor your parents. Grown-ups, honor your parents. Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And so God's saying, if you don't honor your father and your mother, you're not going to live long. Isn't that what we just read? The command to honor your parents may seem easy to some, while much more challenging for others who were raised in negative or abusive environments. Are all parents deserving of honor? No. Does God still command it? Yes. How can you honor someone who has been cruel or who is no longer in a relationship with you? You honor your parents in your heart. Even if you cannot or do not have a relationship with your parents, you can choose not to think or speak ill of them, no matter what has happened. Forgive them for any offenses, and most importantly, pray for them. If you have a relationship with your parents, you can honor them by respecting their age and life experiences. I know a lot of people don't honor their parents. Good, bad, or indifferent, they just don't honor them. All right, don't mock them or their abilities. We're talking about your people, your parents. Revere and respect them for who they are and what they've done for you. Speak with the utmost respect to them at all times. Be available to help them with any needs they may have. When you choose to honor your parents, God says it will go well with you and you will live long on the earth. All right? You just need to stop thinking, you're not old yet. Some of you aren't married yet. And you don't know what you're going to go through. You don't know what kind of parent you're going to be. So you need to quit judging your parents. They weren't brought up right, so they didn't bring you up right. They're doing with you what was done to them. Are you understanding this? So quit judging them. All right, the third thing you need to do is honor your spouse. In 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, give honor to the wife. In Ephesians 5:33, let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, do you show honor to your husband or your wife? Honor doesn't belittle or criticize. Honor builds up and doesn't tear down. To show honor to your spouse is to be his or her biggest fan. It's a husband who puts his wife before himself in everything. It's a wife who doesn't speak disrespectfully and who shows admiration for his good qualities. This younger generation, marriages are a mess. And sometimes when I hear what they're fussing about, I think, what is wrong with you? Well, I only get sex once a month. Well, big whoop. At least you get it once a month. You know, you don't need it twice a day. That means you're full of lust. You know? So what you do, you run your mate down. And then this is according to God's scripture. He doesn't approve of that. So often when couples become comfortable with one another, it becomes easier to be less considerate than they once were with one another. Every good marriage that I've ever heard of was a marriage where every day they told each other how much they loved each other, and they always gave each other honor. Always. However, so often when couples become comfortable with one another, it becomes easier to be less considerate than they once were with one another. However, God has commanded honor within marriage, not only because it will bless both the husband, the wife, their children and grandchildren, and everyone else around them, but because marriage is a type and shadow of Christ and the church. So if you're not going to do right, then quit. Don't get married, and if you're living together, quit living together, because that's just as bad as sin. Well, I just won't get married. I'll just live together. Now we'll be in trouble. You're in more trouble living together. All right, number four, honor those who are older. Leviticus 19:32, you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged. There has been an alarming decline in respect for older citizens in this nation. Entire generations have determined that they know it all and assume they know more than those who have gone before them, and they fail to show respect and honor where it's due. You know, like my boys will say, well, what makes you think you know everything? I said, I don't know everything, but I'm older than you are, and I've lived, experienced a lot living, so I do know a little bit more than you do, you know, right? Isn't that right? All right, one such area is in that which the Bible has commanded, honoring those who are older than we are. This is a critical area of obedience for every age. There is always someone older than you are. Hear that? There's always somebody older than you are, and they deserve the honor. What does it look like to honor those who are older? This is what you're supposed to be doing. Be patient on the road with an older person. How many of you said, oh, that's just an old geezer in there, just sort of trudging, you know, going down the road or slow taking cow. Make friendly conversation in public. Help them load groceries into their car. Mow an older neighbor's yard. Invite them to lunch or to have tea or coffee in your home. Listen when they talk. Seek their advice and respect their experience and speak kindly to them. I know a lot of that doesn't give nobody gets a star in this one. I see older people being showed such disrespect, especially if they get dementia. My sister got dementia, and my older sister, and she was put in a nursing home because the husband didn't want to deal with her, and they treated her terrible. Terrible. All right. Number five is honor your boss. 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be submissive to your masters, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. In 1 Peter 2:18, God is commanding us to give due respect and honor to our masters or our employers. In 1 Timothy 6:1, we see this again. All who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. That is the purpose of honor, to stand out as God's children among those in the world. There are plenty of people who show dishonor to employers, but we shine His light when we honor and submit to those in authority over us. Notice that we are to give reverence and honor not only to the good bosses and gentle masters, but also to the harsh, unfair, and unpleasant. You know, all you do is complain about that kind of a boss, and you're not helping yourself. You need to be praying for those bosses that are like that. Pray that God changes their heart and be good, be nice to them. If you treat with honor a dishonorable boss or superior, you will find favor with God. Of course, you don't have to stay working there. You just walk, you know, quit, unless God tells you to. But as long as you work there, be subject to him or her. The sixth thing is honor church leaders. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. This is an area that needs serious work and correction in the lives of many believers. It is never acceptable to criticize, gossip, or make cutting remarks about a pastor, minister, or church leader, as these acts are in direct disobedience to the Word of God. So I tell you, don't ask me, talk to me about another pastor. God told me not to do that. Keep my nose in this church, because I have plenty to do right here. All right? The scripture above continues through in that we just read in 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and verse 13. It says, they work hard, your church leaders, they work hard among you and warn you against all that is wrong. Think highly of them and give them your wholehearted love because they are straining to help you. The Bible never says that pastors, elders, deacons, evangelists, ministers, or any other church leaders will be perfect, just as none of us is perfect. The only perfect one whom God calls us to honor is Him. All others He tells us to honor out of obedience, not conditionally based on their behavior. What does it look like to honor church leaders, including pastors, elders, and ministers? Here's a short list. Do you not speak critically of them in public or private? Do you not talk or play around on your cell phone during their teaching? Open doors for them. If you see a need, meet it. Recognize them on their birthdays. Do not criticize their salaries or their possessions. If you've been missing it in these areas, repent and begin to honor your church leaders today. All these things that are written down here are all the things that happen against church leaders. This is one area where the body of Christ really fails. There's somebody comes here and they call me Barbara all the time, and it just jerks Alan right out of his seat. But yet they just hold their pastor on a high seat like they're God. And it really bothers Alan. He said, I want him to show you respect, but you can't make him show me respect. That comes from the heart. But what do they do when they need to hear from God? Come into the lighthouse. And I'm not saying, but this is just what I'm saying. They don't honor the pastor. They don't honor their prophet. But yet they want God to use that prophet or that pastor to minister to them. All right, the seventh thing is honor government officials. This is a hard one. Romans 13:1-2. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. Now, Romans 13:1-2 is not a suggestion. It is a command. And we just read it up here that we have to honor them. 1 Peter 2:17 confirms that we are to show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, and honor the emperor. I don't know who the emperor is. We know this is biblical. What about ungodly authority? Think of David and Saul. David's path to becoming king hinged on one thing, honor. And he lived up to the test. David refused to dishonor Saul. Even when Saul was after his life, David chose to honor the position over the person because he knew that by doing so, he was showing honor to God. God does not hold us blameless for dishonoring those in authority. Let's just stop there. Remember when Saul was chasing David and David was in the cave and Saul came into the cave and didn't know David was in there and David could have cut the hem of his garment and the men wanted to kill him and he said, no. He wouldn't touch the hem of Saul's garment and he wouldn't let anybody kill him. David showed him honor even when he had him pinned down. We wouldn't do that. We'd slice them to pieces. But see, it's not godly. God does not hold us blameless for dishonoring those in authority. In fact, he declares there will be a punishment in 2 Peter 2:9-10 says, those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. God is not going to allow us to dishonor anymore. He's bringing this up because this church must start honoring people. We don't even honor one another. So much backbiting and jealousy. Yeah, and that's not a good witness to anybody. It just isn't. You can honor government officials by refusing to speak against any of them. I had to repent because you knew who I speak against. I'm not going to speak against them anymore. You'll have your say quietly in the voting booth. You can also write respectful correspondence to voice your opinions or concerns. But if you want to see blessing and prosperity in your life, don't block it by dishonoring those in authority. So if we can't say anything nice, let's just shut up. God has it under control. Instead, obey 1 Timothy 2:1-2 and pray for them. Why? That we may have peace in our land. Do you think that might be why we don't have peace? We are a house divided. Remember, Kim Clement prophesied years ago that there'd be a point we'd have two presidents at one time in the United States. And this is what we've been going through. One is chosen by the people, one is chosen by God. But we have decided we're going to talk about the one chosen by the people. All right. You're looking at me sort of funny, but that's the truth, isn't it? Okay, honor police and military, and this bothers me too. Romans 13:7, give respect and honor to those who are in authority. The recent lack of respect and honor for our police and military has been nothing less than disgraceful. Yes, a small percentage of those in these positions have behaved dishonorably, but that does not justify a lack of honor for all who serve in these positions. Just because you have one bad pastor doesn't mean they're all bad. Just because you have one bad, you know, military or policeman doesn't mean they're all bad. Jesus even prayed for the soldiers who nailed him to the cross, saying in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And by praying for them, he showed honor to the soldiers who mistreated him, falsely accused him, humiliated him, and ultimately killed him. And one of the soldiers actually got saved. He said, you are the Messiah. All right? You don't know who you're going to impress when you start honoring the way God wants us to honor too. And if you don't know whose cold heart can be warmed by you honoring people. As believers, we should be conscious to never speak against our police or military. They serve, protect, and risk their lives for you, and they deserve honor. We all know that some bad things have been going on, but you know what? You can't blame it all on the military or on the police either. The public has to take their role in this. And things have gone down that, you know, the civilians have done that should never have been done. I mean, our soldiers have been put in prison. They should never have been put in prison. Now, this is what Reverend Kenneth Copeland says. Police officers and members of the armed forces should never buy their own meal in the presence of a believer. In other words, if you're at McDonald's and you see them buying their meal, you should pay for their meal. Be a blessing. Thank them for their service. In doing so, you will be obeying God's word and it will be well-pleasing to him. I was in McDonald's line years ago and I went to pay for my meal. And the lady said, it's already been paid for. I said, by who? And she said, that by the gentleman in the car behind you. He said, you're his pastor and he wants to pay for your meal. Turn and look, that'd be somebody in church service, hadn't they? But I said, well, tell them, I said, thank you. I really enjoyed that sandwich. Yeah. Amen. All right. The ninth thing we're supposed to do is honor your children. And parents, don't do this. Ephesians 6:4. Do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. I see so many women and men mistreat their children and make them angry. And, you know, they turn out really bad. And then they'll say, I knew they weren't going to be any good. You're the one that made them that way. You might think of honor as putting someone in a position of authority above yourself, but honor is to be extended in every direction. To honor also means to value, and children should be greatly valued by society and their parents. That's why we have messed up kids. they had drug addicted parents or alcoholic parents who never treated them right or got down there in the mud with them and really didn't honor their kids or respect them, or they wouldn't have taught them to be wrong or do wrong with them. All right, you honor your children by showing affection, spending quality time with them, speaking words of affirmation to them, make them a priority in your life, and disciplining them. All right. I have to tell about Brother Chris. He had a child in his and the kid always wore hoodies. And he would cut every hoodie off of the, and I would say, Chris, quit doing that. But anyhow, finally they had to be separated. But the child still loves Chris because Chris taught him some wonderful things, but he cut his hoodies off. And I thought, why does he do that? You know, it wasn't helping anything. So think about this. What do you do to your kids? Why are you doing that? It isn't benefiting them anything. You see what I'm saying? We have to start thinking, you know, sometimes with my two boys, they're getting to that age now where you just want to take a bucket and stick their head in it, all right? And it's, you know, and I really had to work really hard being the older person, keeping my patience. But I do. And I keep on loving and keep on moving. And I know it's helping them. You know, I'm not losing the battle. I do know that. But how many of you parents are losing it or have lost the battle or are losing the battle? You know. All right, so where am I at? You also honor your children by teaching them what it means to show honor. Teach them to respect God, their parents, elders, teachers, police officers, and so forth. Teach them simple principles, such as when you use something that belongs to someone else, wash it, clean it, fill it with gas, or fix it, even if you didn't break it before you return it. Whatever you borrow, return it in better condition than when you got it. My father taught me that. Always return it back better than what you got it. Another basic principle of honor to teach and model before your children is don't lie. The most dishonorable thing you can do is to misrepresent or distort the truth. If children see their parents cheating or lying, what do you think they will end up doing? It's time to bring honor back, and it begins by teaching and modeling honor at home. Are you ready to start living the life of honor? Why do you parents can't go to your kids and say, I want you to forgive me? There are things I did when I raised you that was not right, and I'm so sorry. And I don't want you to go down the same road I did. What is wrong with you that you can't do that? Think about it. And maybe some of you kids, you know, you just might have to go and say to your parents, I forgive you for what you did to me. They're probably slapping you in the face, but anyhow, it gets that off of your chest, right? You don't have to say it out loud. You can sort of say it, look at them, sort of say it to yourself. But all those things set you free. All right, the 10th thing is honor others before yourself. Romans 12:10 says, honor one another above yourselves. Honoring others is not always about the position, but it's about walking in love toward other people. See that? Mark 12:30-31, Jesus said that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, right now she's your neighbor. See what, you know, you love your neighbor as yourself. In your own family, your family members are your neighbors, because most families aren't families. You know, one thing I'm trying to stress in my home, we need to become a family again, because the enemy has torn families apart, hasn't he? And somebody has to work at getting families back together. Somebody has to say, you know, let's forget the past and let's move on. Are you understanding this? Somebody has to do this. What's that song, you know, Why Not Me? I was trying to think of that song last night. You know, somebody has to do it, so why not you? Sometimes you're like me, you sit in the room all by yourself and get up the courage and finally go out and say it and say, there, I'm glad I did it. You know, you're not going to jump up and be able to say these things right off the bat. You're going to have to seek God's face and let him get you right before you go and do what you need to do that's right. When you honor others before yourself in every situation, you will show God's love to the world and you will be a living testimony of who he is. This can be a real test of the will, yet there is an excellent reward for those who crucify the flesh to obey God's command to love and honor others. What should you do differently now that you know more about the 10 people God says you must honor? As you train yourself to be a person of honor, you will be honoring God, and you will be a testimony of who he is to others. More importantly, you'll find yourself in sweet fellowship with the source of all honor, which is God himself. It is in our honorable behavior, not in the behavior of those around us. Are you hearing me? Other people around about you are not going to change. So you have to do what you know you're going to do, but you might change them then. It is in our honorable behavior, not in the behavior of those around us, that we will find peace, joy, and blessing in our own lives. Remember my story about my first husband? God said, my pastor said, you're going to have to go to him and tell you you're sorry. And I said, for what? He's the one I ran around and did all things. I didn't do anything. She said, you talked about him. That's a sin. So I had to go and ask him to forgive me. On bended knees, I did it. That's just the way I wanted to do it. And then you know the story. He said, I don't know if I want to forgive you or not. And I wanted to slap his teeth down his throat. And I'm being honest. But I stayed on my knees and said, God, give me grace. And he did. And I got up and I was at peace. I felt that heaviness lift off of my shoulders. And I didn't care if he accepted or not. He never did, by the way. But I didn't care if he ever accepted or not. I was free. The object is to get yourself free so you can minister truth to others. This morning, you know, God, he's saying this, God, in all my mercy, I've reached down many times and saved you from destruction. And now he wants you to be full of that same love and mercy that he put in you when you went astray. And if you want, the altar's open for special anointing to be able to forgive others, truly, truly forgive others for what they did to you, just not because you have to. Truly be able to do this. All right?